Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get going. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look into your word, to discuss practical matters that affect us in our walk and our families and our personal lives. Would you just bless and guide now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are just starting the study that is based upon the book Lies That Women Believe by Nancy Lee DeMoss Wolgemuth. And we did this years ago, and as we thought about it, this would be a good one to come back and do again. And so that's what we are doing. And that's a second here. And so we gave the introduction last time, and just some of the reasons why this book is uniquely important. And so we're going to go into chapter one today, which really is in itself an introduction. So I'm not going to repeat what I said the last time. She's entitled it Truth or Consequences. And it truly is, that title's not just a cute title based on a TV show. It's either Truth or Consequences. And so it's actually an extremely serious title. And we'll be looking at that here today. There are many, many lies out there, just in the advertising realm. She begins by talking about that, you know, become a world-class violinist instantly. Well, that's not going to happen. Or how to play the piano instantly. Or how to lose 10 pounds in 10 minutes. Yeah, no. Okay, we all know those are lies. Some of those we wish were true, but they are not. But even though we chuckle at some of that and some of the media ads that you see, our culture is riddled with the impact of Satan very subtly and very effectively. He causes people to go astray. Remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says that Satan is the god of this world, and he's blinding the minds of them that believe, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them. The Lord Jesus said that that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And so we must understand that we are going to follow lies if we don't know the truth. Our flesh is deceitful. We find that very clearly stated. I think oftentimes Christians don't understand the awful danger of being a neutral. Being a neutral is a place in which deception reigns. May not be that horrible things will happen initially, but as we're going to see today, not knowing the truth and listening to a lie will eventually have consequences. And so we need to be very aware of that. Of course, in Genesis chapter 3, really the basis of this entire book, you have Satan coming to Eve, and evidently the serpent before his cursed state was a very beautiful reptile. And in fact, you know, if you can get past a snake being a snake, when you go to some of the zoos, you'll see some of them. They're absolutely, the colors are amazing. They're beautiful, but they're a snake, you know. In a very cunning way, Satan deceived Eve through a combination of outright lies, half-truths, and falsehoods. And then she began to be careless with the word of God. She said that, you know, we're not supposed to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but then she goes on to add, and neither are we supposed to touch it. Well, the Lord didn't say that. And though that's maybe implicated, and it's Satan was getting Eve to question the goodness of God. Isn't it amazing? All that God gave in the Garden of Eden and one tree made Eve feel like she was being restricted. And you think of all the good things that God gives to us, and the things that he says don't do are for our good anyway. But our flesh just feels like God is not being good to us and that he's keeping back something that we deserve. And I face that all the time. And so God had placed, by the way, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there as a key. In other words, if he created us with a free will and there was no opportunity for Adam and Eve to make the choice to keep obeying God, there would not be a free will. And so that's why that tree was there. And so he lied about the consequences. He said, you will not surely die. And of course, Eve had said that if they disobeyed the Lord. And then he talked about all the benefits. He said, you'll have a whole world of knowledge that you need to know and experience. Your eyes will be opened. And then the big one was, you will be equal with God. In other words, she would be her own God. You'll be like God, he said. Now that's right to the core of the temptation of Satan for us. You control your own life. You decide what's the best. Trust your feelings. You deserve to do what you want to do. And it won't necessarily be that straightforward, but that's exactly what he does. And he wanted her to make a decision on the basis of what she saw rather than what God had said. Now, the fruit was not rotten. She wouldn't have eaten it if it was. It was beautiful. You can imagine what the fruit in the Garden of Eden was like in general, but something about this tree was very, very attractive. And she saw that the tree was good, verse 5, and verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was, this is in Genesis 3, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. But when she took a bite, instead of all the promised rewards, she found her mouth full of the worms of shame, guilt, fear, alienation. She had been lied to. Thomas Brooks writes, Satan promises the best, but pays with the worst. He promises honor and pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure and pays with pain. He promises profit and he pays with loss. He promises life and he pays with death. Well said. And so this glittering promise of really living, having real life in many different forms comes to all of us. And so we can easily fall for that deception. And there are many different serpents that come our way. Books that you read. Now you have the podcasts. You have the blogs. You have friends that are not spiritual. You have entertainment that you're watching. Maybe music that's not the best. It has a message. You've got to really be careful about a therapist that's supposedly an expert, or even Christian writers, teachers, and counselors. Sometimes that can be the most subtle deception that you find because it's couched in Christian terms. And I have to face that all the time in helping folks. And so we have all kinds of deception that is around us. And so already, I think we know what the answer is. You got to know the truth. You've heard the illustration 100 times. They don't teach you what all the counterfeit bills look like. They get you to be an expert on what a genuine dollar bill looks like so that you can easily then detect the counterfeit. And so in walking with God and knowing the truth and being committed to keeping the truth, that will help us with much of the deception that is around us. But even with that, we need to realize it is a real battle. And the Lord, as I said in John 8, says that he is a liar and the father of them. And so we need to be able to understand that we are not to let, as Ephesians 5 says, anyone deceive us. Well, I want to get down to some of the practical aspects of this. We've got to understand that it is one of the things he does is that he endeavors to cause us to rationalize our sin, not call it what it is. That's a basic problem. Rage. Well, you're just being honest about your feelings. Selfishness. Well, if you don't look out for yourself, nobody will. Irresponsibility. Well, your problems and reactions have been caused by other people. That's bitterness, by the way. Infidelity. Well, really, God wants you to be happy. And honestly, I faced that recently. I think God wants me to be happy. Boy, it's so hard in that situation. No, God wants you to obey him. And you will not end up being happy. But that's exactly what Christians, oftentimes having been saved a long time, will say. And so we need to ask God to help us to open our eyes and really understand what's going on. We need to be determined all the time, every day, not to be deceived. And, you know, there's one good thing about all the craziness out in technology. It used to be that people just believed what the TV said or the radio said or newspaper said. There was sort of a naivety in America. There isn't today, you know. I mean, we don't trust anybody what they say. So that's a good aspect. But on the other side, everything you read or that you hear is, everything you read or hear is going to be affecting you somewhat. You know, you hear something about somebody else, even though you reject it because that can't be true, that you put a question in your mind. And you start hearing things about, well, you know, is the Bible really this way or that way? And it's amazing. You can just see constantly. And that's why you have to be very careful what you allow into your mind. And remember, Satan is going to make things be looking good. His offer is alluring. And Eve didn't stop to evaluate what the consequences were. Were there consequences? Well, we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Horrible consequences. Mother of the first murderer lost her second son in that murder. And she had gone from the beauty of the Garden of Eden to being rejected or being expelled from it. And she lived long enough. Remember, Adam and Eve lived up till matters of decades before the Noah's Ark, you know, so years before Noah's Ark. So they saw the whole decline of the human race, can you imagine? And they had walked with God, and I am sure they still did have a walk with God. But she gives the illustration here of a woman who had seven children, but was gotten into an affair with somebody else. And she's having to try to tell her that even, and she's saying, well, he's so good to me, so good to my children. And so she had to plead with her to be biblical, number one, and number two, understand the consequences. All right, well, this is very helpful, what I want to give now. That's the introduction. It sort of mirrors what we already went over. The progression from deception to spiritual bondage. This is a foundation for the specific lies that we're going to look at over these next several months. People don't fall into spiritual bondage overnight. There is a progression. And that's why you're so shocked when you see somebody that you knew they did love the Lord, that they have gotten into something that is obviously unbiblical. So here's what we all have to be careful. Satan wants us, number one, just to listen. Just to listen to a lie. That's how it happened in the Garden of Eden. Eve listened. And so listening is where we've got to be very, very careful. And let me just say this. If you are under preaching and teaching in a major way on a regular basis, if you're in the Word of God every day, and you're not just casually reading it, but you're studying it, and you are reading biblical books that are recommended by people that you know are trustworthy in what they recommend to you, you are filling your mind with so much truth that you'll begin to hear a lie, and even though your curiosity is there, you realize, I don't need to listen to this. Now, I have to read things. I have a couple of magazines that give some of the leftist part of evangelicalism, but I find myself getting the gist of it so I know what's going on, and then I put it away. I just don't even need to listen to it. And I think we have to be very careful. You know, one of your biggest problems will be curiosity. Curiosity. And I want you to remember that. Curiosity is what gets a lot of people into sin. And there's some things you don't need to know. The Bible says we are to be simple concerning evil. And so once you get a sense, in other words, the source isn't credible, and what is being said is giving you a sense of uneasiness, then it might be very wise to put that aside. Well, then you go from listening to dwelling on the lie. It's sort of mulling it over. I'm telling you, if you're not walking in the Spirit and truly in fellowship with God, and you start mulling on something that's deceptive, the potential for you to be deceived has just exponentially gone up. And so that's why it's important to not just, it's important to start with not even listening to lies once you have an uneasiness about it. But meditating on it is always, just like anything, meditating on something that is sinful is going to lead you to actually sinning if you don't watch out. And so if something troubles you, one of the things you ought to do is, first of all, don't meditate on it anymore. But if it troubles you, get right to somebody you trust. I love it when folks come and say, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I heard this in a podcast or somebody said this to me, but there's something not right about this. And so, man, I'll take the time right then if I can, and we'll sit down and look at the Word of God and get that thing cleared up. And so very important to do that. So if you listen and then meditate on it, you're going to end up believing it. Because, again, your flesh is going to want to go contrary naturally to the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God is contrary oftentimes to our natural impulses in the flesh and the world's thinking around us. Faith is going against our natural thinking, against what the world pressures us to do, taking a step believing that what God is saying is right, and that even though there's pressure to go the other direction, you are going to trust the Word of God regardless of anything else. And so believing the lie, and once you believe the lie, you're in trouble. And then acting on the lie. And of course, we're going to look at a lot of lies specifically coming up. But what you believe on, you put your faith in. If you believe the Word of God, you put the faith in the Word of God. But if you actually believe a lie, and you know, honestly, we can believe lies about relationships. We can believe lies about parenting. We can believe lies about a lot of things. And then once we believe the lie, very quickly you will act upon that lie. And there was some point there where Eve actually believed it. She meditated on it, believed it, and acted on it. Every bit of that there is in Genesis chapter 3. And so truth is then violated, and the tragedy then occurs. So as we go over these different lies that women believe, if all of a sudden you find yourself, I actually have had a problem with this. That's going to be very important that you identify it that way and understand the progression of how you got there. Now, let me say, those of you that have children in your home, just a few of you here, you need to be constantly saturating your children with truth, helping them to learn to walk with God, develop discernment, develop character based upon truth, and to learn to act upon truth. And I love it when I see a sincere conscience of a child. They won't do something because they know that's wrong. They've got clarity about that. And it's in their hearts. And honestly, elementary children can have strong convictions about a lot of things. And it ought not be that junior hires and senior hires are in a mode of deciding. There ought to be some clear steps of faith in children, because the Holy Spirit's powerful. And if truth is given, then they can be led to making faith decisions. Sure, they'll be challenged and they'll have to work things through, but they're not open for debate. Because if a kid gets to be a teenager and he doesn't have convictions, which way will he probably go? He'll go the wrong way. Mark it down. And as I, in my parenting sessions, we'll talk about, is the elementary years parents coast? Because it's a real relief to get them functioning like that. You know, you're no longer having some of the things you have in preschool and all of that, and they're functioning more on their own. And parents, almost especially dads, go into a passive mode and then all of a sudden wake up when a child gets to sixth, seventh grade and realize, they're not on the same page I'm not on. That's dangerous. Now, God can work, but that doesn't need to be that there. So I just wanted to mention that. Now, when we act upon it, then we can be bound by sin. Sin will bring you into bondage. And women have all kinds of bondages that they find themselves into that keep them from walking with God, have wrong attitudes toward people, struggle with their husbands, struggle with their children, and are inundated with things that they should not be from the world. And this is not the point here in this message, but I cannot urge young mothers in particular enough to say that don't allow deception in your life. You don't have time for all that technology. And I urge you, put first things first. You don't want your kids to be lied to, do you? Well, then don't put yourself in the place to be lied to. And carefulness. Well, I need to know what's going on. There's all kinds of ways to know what's going on without listening to things that could undermine godly principles. And so it's very important that we're very wise in that. And of course, we're going to be dealing with specifics. Now, I want to finish up with this. Moving from spiritual bondage back to freedom. You've got to identify the areas of spiritual bondage. And so as we do go over these different lies, do not be afraid to let the finger of God point these things out and put his finger on your heart and illuminate things. Be thankful for that. Be willing to deal with it however God wants you to deal with it. And let me just read some of the things that she says here. Are there areas where you are in physical bondage? Overeating, disordered eating, substance abuse? Are you in emotional bondage, anxiety, fear, depression, chronic emotional disorders? Are you in bondage to sexual sin pornography, lust, fornication, homosexuality? That's not limited to men, by the way. Is financial bondage, overspending, greed, stinginess, or is that in your life? Are there sinful habits that plague you, such as anger and lying? One of the most respected men. I won't mention his name. He's with the Lord now. But one of the most respected men of the last century in strong Bible Christianity, a man that I knew well, had just, his wife had gotten into real bondage. And she had a terrible problem with stealing. Can you imagine being a pastor's wife, stealing and lying? There were other reasons for it. But he was able to continue to work her out of it. But can you imagine the nightmare of that? It was just horrible. She was a kleptomaniac. And it came from her past and so forth. So, I mean, bondage is there, even among good people, if you don't watch out. And so you've got to be very careful. Satan's going to try to get you. Are you in bondage to the need for approval? Well, that's a biggie. Women are so socially aware and will do anything for other women to accept them. And are you hooked on TV, computer games? More and more women are on computer games. Younger women are. Social media, big deal. Romance novels, and even worse. So, you know, she's obviously writing to a broad range of people here. But for ourselves and for people that you will counsel, you need to understand that once a person is deceived and they start acting on that deception, it won't stay in one place. It will get worse and worse. Remember, God has given us the ability to have good habits. And if we make wrong habits, things happen repeatedly, then a habit will be formed. Okay, so identify the areas of spiritual bondage. Number two, identify the lie or lies at the root of the bondage. That's the key. Or the sin pattern. And that's what we're going to look at. What is the root of that? And then replace the lie with the truth. And once you meditate on the truth, are willing to be honest about it, if needful, to be open about it, take steps of faith to overcome it, I got good news for you. No spiritual bondage is unconquerable. There is freedom and deliverance in every area of the Christian life. And you got to believe that. Well, the Bible says it. I quote it often from Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you. A believer that is reckoning the great victory that we have in Christ. All right, well, that wasn't a fun lesson necessarily because we look at the whole progression of deception, but that's the basis for this book. And you know, we don't think, I don't believe any lies. Well, I remember going through this some years back. I thought, boy, she's very perceptive. She's got her finger on lots of little subtle things that can cripple us. They may not be big things comparatively, but they're taking away our joy. They're taking away the power of God. They're taking away understanding truth, and they're setting us up for further deception. Think about how many believers who are truly believers and have a heart for God just don't really serve God. Well, they're believing some lies. They are bound by some things that are holding them back from the fullness of joy and the fullness of service for God that God wants. So I would just, as I mentioned the last time, keep your heart open and say, Lord, teach me. Anytime I go to a preaching conference, I'm preaching myself, Lord, I want deliverance. I want all the time. I want to go further. I want to go deeper. I want to have everything you want me to have. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit to a seeking Christian is sweet, not bad. Maybe painful, but it's a good pain because that's a reason I'm not seeing something in that area, and God's going to free me, and so it's a blessing.